This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in here to a Thursday edition of a Football 24-7 as we set to kick off day number six of Eagles training camp, at least day six, where there is open media access. All right, we get a nice morning show live here. We'll recap some of the biggest news through the first 5 days of camp. Couple things on my mind that I want to talk to you guys about. We'll get to some of those things. A little bit of injuries running through training camp right now. Nothing crazy, nothing to be worried about, but it is changing who's on the field. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then I will talk to Johnny Mack in probably about 8 minutes or so. He will join us from, I guess, the drive to NovaCare Complex or the NovaCare Complex, depending on where Johnny Mack is in his morning. So we'll talk to him right around 8:15, get his update before day number six, everybody. And it's already moving right along. We are now officially 1 week out, 1 week away from the Eagles' first preseason game next week versus the Cincinnati Bengals. So that'll be next Thursday. And then we will move in right in. We'll have the joint practice. I believe the joint practice is the 12th. So the following week would be the joint practice, preseason game number two, number three, and then we'll be there, everybody. So it's already moving quick, man. It's already moving very quick, and a lot of good signs, in my opinion, coming out of training camp. A lot of good things you're hearing. Defense is playing, I think, maybe better than some people expected. I know it's just training camp, so you can't take it to the bank. It's not a check you can cash, but I do believe it's a good sign for where the defense is right now. Still some battles developing with the youngsters and even just corner safety. You know, where is Makuba going to be? Will he be back out on the field today? I think that's probably the biggest thing to watch this morning. Keely Ringo. What's Keely Ringo and Adoree Jackson getting into? Vic had those comments the other day about Adoree. He wants Keely to win the job. Now, will Keely go out and seize the moment? We will see on that. So still plenty of great things to talk about. Tyler Steen seems to have won the right guard battle, but we'll see if that gets shaken up at all at any point here in the future. And then optimism on the defensive line, as Moro Jomo has had one of the best camps of any Eagle so far, and Jalix Hunt has obviously gotten a lot of praise from his teammates. And anytime you get praise from teammates that are as good as some of the teammates who have talked about him, I think it's something you can think about. I think it's something you can put in the arsenal. So all good right now in Eagles camp, and a lot of good things going on. I mentioned a little flurry of injuries, which has some impact on the battles at camp. We'll talk a little bit about those. And the biggest question has got to be what? The young safety for you? Is it young safeties, young cornerbacks? What do you see right now as, you know, going into day six would be the biggest questions on you for this team going into camp? I mentioned the injury effect. I just want to name out some of those guys who are actually struggling with injuries. Terrace Marshall went down with a leg injury. Nolan Smith has been out with a concussion. He missed last practice. That's given more of an opportunity to guys like Josh Uche. And then we'll see if Ojulari can get on the field a little bit more. We talked about rookie safety Andrew Makuba. You know, we've talked about him a bunch. He's been out, so missed the last 2 days of camp. He got through day number three. So 3 days of practice for Makuba until he went down, and then he's missed the last two. We'll see if he returns today for a day number six. All right, Danny Gray was released after he got a finger injury, I believe it was, at practice. So we'll see. They picked up Ife Adeyi to replace him. We will see what they do with him. And then Jalen Carter was out early. He has started to return now. I don't know if he's ever taken – I don't think he's taken full team reps, but he was a limited participant in day number five, so we will see about that. So nothing crazy, nothing out of the ordinary in terms of, you know, you go into a football camp. There's going to be some injuries at a football camp, and that's just how it goes. I'm with Jimbo here who says Makuba's got to get out there. Me too, Jimbo. I agree, brother. I agree, man. It's time to get out there for Andrew Makuba. This is not the time to be missing. Now, I'm not going to ask him to play through, you know, injuries if he's not ready to play. But, you know, you do worry about how that projects for the start of the season. This is a position that we've talked about all offseason. And look, I know people didn't like C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and some of the Eagles organization didn't like him, and the front office or whatever the case may be, or whatever the reason might be for why they moved on from him. But, you know, I hope the ego didn't get in the way. I'll say that. All right. I hope the dislike for a certain personality doesn't get in the way of what your defense can be, because right now I haven't really heard or seen much about the safety position that would make me feel better. Make me feel better about what we had last year than C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So, again, I know the guy was a headache at some point, but, I mean, fuck, aren't we all a headache every once in a while? I got Prince in here. You know, Prince, I love him, but he's a headache every once in a while. You know? That doesn't mean I want to get rid of him. I hope that one pans out because, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson was not making a lot of money. And now you have a big question in that secondary for a team that really wants to go and repeat as Super Bowl champs. So, look, headaches are headaches. Believe me, I deal with them all the time, all right? But certain certain headaches you have a little bit more tolerance to than others, okay? So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening there. But that is probably my biggest concern at this point. Ringo too. What's up, Joey Shakes? Good to see you in here, brother, from Twitter. Checking in over from Twitter. Joey, if that's the real you, I think it's the real you, but yeah, I expected you to come from YouTube, not Twitter. Joey, I saw some news that you lost your channel a little bit about. I'm not gonna lie to you, I was worried sick for you because I'm a YouTube. I got YouTubes like myself, dudes, or like yourself. So I was like, boy, that's like my worst fear. You know, you wake up and you're locked out of your YouTube channel. Fucking brutal. So Joey, hope you're doing good, brother. Hope you're enjoying camp so far. A lot of good ramp up going on right now on the bubble, or at least let's talk about another guy that I think has been very optimistic for this Birds team early in camp, and that's Jahad Campbell. We've talked about him a lot, and I don't think anybody expected. It was weird because we spent a first round pick on the guy, and then all summer it was like nobody really knew. Is he going to be out there? Is he not? What position is he going to play? Is he going to be off the edge? Is he going to be in NASCAR sub packages? Is he an off-ball linebacker? Is he replacing N'Kobe Dean? Like, there was all these questions with the player, and I don't think anybody ever doubted that he had the ability to play. But I think we just had questions about what's your first rounder going to be. You know, you draft Quinyon Mitchell in the first round, it's like, all right, we got a cornerback. Jahad was a little bit more of a gray area there, So I think overall he's been a very optimistic part of training camp. Right now, and I'm looking forward to that. Probably the biggest thing that I'm excited about coming out of training camp. I know it's early. I know you can't take all this stuff to the bank. I mentioned these aren't checks you can cash, all right? These are just empty promises for now. But Quinyon Mitchell, man, holy moly, does he sound like he's having a good training camp. I mean, you're getting reports from all sorts of beat reporters that he's locking down A.J. Brown. He's traveling all over the field, left side, right side. They're moving him, you know. Me and Cilio talked about this yesterday. What does that say about Quinyon, that Vic is willing to want to move him around and travel with other teams' best players coming off of a team that, you know, they didn't move anybody last year? Now, maybe that's because Slay was older. Maybe it's because Slay was better. So you had two good corners on both sides. You didn't have to travel. And maybe Vic isn't as confident in Ringo, so he wants to move Quinyon around. But I think it says a lot that Vic has the trust in the second-year player to say, hey, I want you to start to learn this because that will open up what I can do in the defense. They're also cross-training the other guys in the cornerback room to be able to, you know, try and move around as well. So we'll be following that part of it along as well. But I think Quinyon Mitchell has been a very positive coming out of training camp for the Birds so far. So we'll see about how day six goes today. Day number five in the books. They had the walkthrough yesterday and now back on the field today, back opened up to reporters, which means our man, Johnny Mack, John McMullen, will be down there today. He is down there, I believe, or maybe on the way down there. I got him in the green room right now. Let's go to our main man, Johnny Mack, John McMullen, joining me right now. Football 24/7 morning edition. Jay Mack, how are you doing this Thursday morning, brother?
Good morning. Yeah, you're getting me from the car, so hopefully you can hear me.
John, you sound good, brother. It's another day, another dollar for this football team. Day number six upcoming, John, and it's Michael Clay Day. They moved Petullo back. You got to fit the special teams coordinator in there every once in a while, Johnny Mac. I don't know if he's every other week or what, but Michael Clay Day, day number six. What are your first thoughts, Johnny Mac, on it?
Yeah, obviously the third phase doesn't get as much talked about. It's, you know, kind of frustrating from the standpoint, certainly from Michael's standpoint, but I'm sure, you know, from the football standpoint, because we constantly talk about the depth chart and, you know, particularly a receiver we've talked about a lot. Well, this guy's a better receiver. Why isn't he going to be on the team over a certain other person? And the answer is inevitably special teams. Because you got to be able to help there. More interesting stuff than usual with special teams, because it looks like the Eagles are going to piecemeal the return game again. So you're going to have a kickoff returner. You're going to have a different punt returner. There was some thought that maybe Avery Williams would handle both of those jobs, but that hasn't really been obvious. In fact, I've seen him take in one rep as a punt returner, and that was really in a period where Braden Mann was practicing backed up, was trying to pin teams down with punts, so it was more of a coverage drill.
Right.
So he was just there to catch the football. I haven't seen him really in a legitimate rep as a punt returner yet. Still plenty of time, but a little bit surprising. And then, you know, you have the new kickoff rules where the touchback is coming back to the 35, which I think makes it more realistic that teams will not just default to kicking the ball right in the end zone. Because
yeah, that's big yards, John, starting from the 35. Yeah.
Yeah, that is, and that's one of the reasons they didn't. That was the original rule proposal last year, and they had to move the touchback back to the 30 to get it passed.
Right.
And my prediction at the time was, well, everybody's just going to – they might do some things early in the season.
Right, you said it's basically going to be the same result, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And they did. They ended up just, all right, you know, we don't love it, but – it's easier just to kick the touchback. I think the 35, even though it's only 5 yards, I think that makes a big difference, and it's going to be interesting to see how teams handle that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm curious on that returner spot. John, just a couple questions on that spot at the return position. Is it, I guess this might be a dumb question, but is it almost a guarantee that the person they keep to return kicks and punts would be a receiver? I guess if they keep six receivers, does one of those six have to either be Anais or Avery Williams or one of those dudes? I mean, I guess you could go outside the box and talk about Cooper DeJean. That's not my favorite thing in the world. Where, you know, or do they keep five, six receivers and then in addition keep Avery Williams on another side? Kind of walk me through that, what that looks like, because I do believe that's where some of the roster construction can get challenging for GMs, and that's where Howie has to kind of make some moves and assess the board properly.
No, it doesn't have to be a receiver. You know, there's a lot. Isaiah Rogers was one of the two main kickoff returners last year, so there are a lot of defensive backs that return kicks around the league. With the Eagles, I mean, Avery Williams is a perfect example. He got drafted out of Boise State as a defensive back. Then he moved to running back, and now the Eagles list him as a wide receiver. He's not really a wide receiver. He's really just a return guy. Now, Nick mentioned maybe some manufactured touch ability, some gadget ability back in the spring. Haven't really seen that. They've done more of that with Anais Smith. So he's listed as a wide receiver, but he's not really a wide receiver. So ultimately, you know, you're looking for your best return guys. Right now, I would say Anais Smith is the odds-on favorite to be the punt returner, and Avery Williams is the odds-on favorite to be the kickoff returner. I don't necessarily love that.
Does that mean those two guys would be in the six receivers they keep, and now you're looking at keeping Avery and Anais?
Yeah, yeah. And Johnny Wilson, that's the problem.
See, now you have Avery Williams, Anais Smith, and Johnny Wilson. outside of your top three. I mean, that John, that doesn't sound good to me. I'm not a fan of that at all.
At receiver, no, it doesn't. But they're, you know, they're not there for that role. That's the point of and that's how you handle the practice squad. So you can do different things again. Right. And we're going to see if Terrace Marshall, he looked like he might have gotten some, you know, I don't want to say it's significant, but I don't think it's going to be a day injury. I think he's going to be out for a while. A lot of hype on Elijah Cooks, who's been great in recent days at camp. They're better receivers. Nobody's debating that. But again, they're never going to play unless AJ and Devontae get hurt. And obviously, A, you don't want that to happen. B, you can't build your team with that mindset. You can't legislate injuries, so you can't say, well, if AJ gets hurt, we need this guy. You have to build a 53-man roster to win a football game, and special teams is important.
Yeah, I get that.
Even though people like don't pay that much attention to it.
Right. I feel like it's such a double-edged sword because it's like you're also trying to just create the best roster, you know, like where – you know, if something does happen, and again, you can't legislate it. You're right about that. But, you know, you're an odds guy, John. If you look at the odds across most NFL teams, yeah, some dudes are going to go down in the year. That's football, you know. So I feel like you to have those three guys at the back of the receiver room just feels dumb to me when you've had a camp talking about some of these players who finally we feel like we have maybe a decent backup who can play on the outside. We'll see what they end up doing. John, last question on that returner. Which of the three, or I guess the two, Anais and Avery Williams, which of those two has a better chance to do both? Because if you get the guy that can do both, and maybe neither of them can, if you get a guy that can do both, maybe that does open up one of those roster spots in the back and you got to move on from one of them.
I think Anais, he does do both. You know, he takes reps at kickoff return as well. And Avery hasn't yet. Now, he's done it in the past. He's punted, you know, but I haven't seen it here. You know, he's been a good punt returner in college. He was a good punt returner with Atlanta at stages in the NFL, but I haven't seen it here. Like, Anais takes reps. He's the first-team punt returner right now, and he takes reps at kickoff returner. It seems like from their standpoint, they think Anais. And by the way, I would not keep Avery Williams. The reason I signed Avery Williams, if I'm Howie, is to do both. And if you can't do both, I don't think the value's there. Because you can have Anais return kick. You can have Will Shipley return kicks, and you'll be fine. I don't need a kick returner.
Yeah, so
who's taking up a roster
right,
spot?
I agree. Now, what would you do there then, John? Who would you keep and who would you move on from and how would you do it? Because I more fall in your camp right now with what you just explained.
Yeah, I would not keep Avery unless they think he's going to be the punt returner as well. Because I don't think he's going to help you at all on offense.
Yeah, right. Now,
Anais, you know, he's got to play better. He's showing some signs. He's got more confidence. He's obviously quicker. He was hurt last year. Coming in, struggled with his confidence a little bit. So he's gotten a lot better, but and he's done some nice things in one-on-ones. He's going to be here, and he's at least a legitimate receiver. And by legitimate, I mean he can play the position. Like Avery can't play the position. You know, they're bouncing him around in two NFL cities, D-back, running back, wide receiver.
Right.
You know, he's not a real wide receiver. Obviously, he can line up there. I say that. Anybody can line up anywhere. Can you do it effectively?
Right.
So, to me, that's one that's mystifying to me that, you know, I don't see the value unless he's doing both roles. If he's doing both roles and you're saving a roster spot, I think that's tremendous value, but that hasn't manifested itself yet to the point where, as I said, now we're not there for walkthroughs. Maybe he's doing it in walkthroughs, right, which are important to the Eagles. but they've certainly hidden it to this point when we're there.
We'll see what ends up happening with it. Johnny Mack. John, moving on just a little bit, getting off. We'll see what Michael Clay has to say about that. He's set to speak 9:40, right, John, this morning, right before practice at 10?
Yeah.
9:40-ish. So we'll see when he comes out. John, what else is as we go into day six here of practice for this team? You know, I brought up the injuries this morning, John, and I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, you know, there's a lot worse injuries you're seeing around the league right now, but it's a little bit of a thing right now for the Birds. I mean, you know, Terrace Marshall went down. Danny Gray got cut. Nolan Smith with the concussion a little bit. Devontae Smith was out for a couple practices. So there's a little bit of something there. And no concern for that on that for you, right, on the injury front?
No. That's the modern NFL. Your key players, if they have a hangnail, you're not going to practice them. So, I mean, that's where you are with guys like Jalen Carter, who hasn't done any team drills to this point, but he is practicing. He is back doing individual stuff. Devontae Smith, you know, had some back tightness. They were forced to cut Danny Gray because he couldn't practice, and you need bodies because at some point, you know, Terrace Marshall goes down. So I'd be shocked if he practiced today. So if you still had Danny Gray, he's out. If Devontae's out, that's three receivers.
Right.
And all of a sudden, AJ's got to take all these extra reps, and you're like, yeah, you don't want that. So, but there's nothing serious, you know, and you've seen around the league already, torn ACLs, torn Achilles. The Eagles continue to have a sort of nice run. I don't want to call it luck because they work hard, and the training staff and the sports science staff, but there is an element of luck.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
And they've been very lucky for an extended period to the point you're looking up at the sky and waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt about it. Johnny Mack, good stuff there. John, let's move into that safety spot. First thing I'm looking for today, John, is Andrew Mukuba on the field. I think he better get out there quick, John, if they're going to keep having that battle, or if he is going to be positioned to be a starter in week one. I know it's still early. It's July 31st today. It's not even August yet, but that guy's got to be on the field, John. That's the first thing I'm watching is Andrew Mukuba. Is he out on the field today?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the quicker he gets back, the better. He does need to play in the preseason. So if he misses a preseason game, that's going to affect him rapidly when you're talking about week one. But, you know, I don't think week one is that important, to be honest. As you saw last year, I think people should have seen with Cooper DeJean. I know people get hyper-focused on week one. It's sort of like the opposite of the Super Bowl. Like, everybody's so worried about week one. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Now, you want him to get reps, and that's what'll set him back.
Right.
If he can't play in the preseason, but again, if he turns into a good player in week three or week four, is it that big of a deal? I don't think so. But I get why people are hyper focused. If he's not playing in the preseason, he's probably not going to start week one.
Right. I don't know if I got as much confidence if he came in week four. You know, he'd be what Cooper DeJean became last year as
well,
a senior.
I'm not saying the type of player. I'm saying, you know, the goal isn't to be there necessarily week one at all costs.
Right. It's to be.
I'm not betting on him being an impactful player like Cooper DeJean. And I still think there's a chance that Cooper's playing safety. I don't know how they're getting there, but I still think there's an opportunity that happens. There's a lot of moving parts, and Vic's just trying to figure out the best five guys to have on the field in nickel. And the luxury he has is he's got one guy who can play every position.
Right.
And that's a luxury. Just there aren't many guys who can do that.
How many corners you think they're going to keep, and then how many safeties you think they're going to keep?
I guess would be six corners and four safeties. They'll go heavier at corner because they have more, I think, more NFL-ready players at corner than safety.
They kept, what, five last year, John? Five corners last year?
Well, it dissipated. They kept Eli Riggs, so I don't have the roster in front of me from last year, but that's always a moving target. And that'll change from drastically. Like, I always bring up how they kept two tight ends at the initial 53, but eventually the third tight end was brought up, because you have to do it eventually. And that'll move back and forth. But for what's assembled here now, I think there's more guys. Because Quinyon Mitchell's going to be here. You know, Kaylee Ringo's going to be here. Adoree Jackson's going to be here. Mac McWilliams is going to be here. Eli Ricks is a guy nobody talks about.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a comment in the chat right now. Has he done anything? I haven't heard a peep on him, and I'm with him. We haven't talked about him once, John.
Yeah, we've talked about him a little bit. He's playing pretty well. And I think he's, when you hear Vic talk about Adoree Jackson the other day, I think Eli Riggs is probably, they kept him around for a reason.
Right.
Now, at some point, it's hard to keep a guy, because Eli's a guy they've kept who doesn't really help that much on special teams. And he's probably not going to turn into a great special teams player this year. So at some point, if he's not going to be able to play at all, you got to move on. But I still think he's going to be here. So and safety, they're just, unless Max and Hook or somebody like that comes on as an undrafted free agent, it's a position they're not nearly as deep at as some other positions. And Cooper's versatility, remember, helps.
Right.
So when you have Cooper who can play safety, you don't really need to keep an extra safety.
Yeah, that gives you a lot. That gives you a lot of flexibility for Vic Fangio. We'll see what they end up doing. That's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on back there. John, keep moving along, man. The two guys who I think have really, and we talked about them extensively, but the two guys who have really stolen the show so far are Quinyon Mitchell and Moro Ejomo. And I think that's two positive signs from the defensive side of the ball, where you do have question marks on the defensive side after all the losses, And while that's all great, I was re-listening to the Vic Fangio press conference, John, and I wanted to ask you, because you brought it up, and I think it maybe took me an extra second to figure out where you were going with it, but do you think Vic Fangio is upset with what talent he has on his side of the ball coming into the year this year after getting the first overall defense in the NFL last year?
I don't think he's upset. Obviously, as a coach, it's not his job, which is kind of what I think a lot of people think, Vic goes into Howie's office and says, oh, give me this guy. It doesn't work like that. And he knows it's not his job when it comes to personnel. That's Howie's job. But, obviously, Howie's a very good GM, and he tries to get players that Vic would like. And there's certain instances, Bryce Huff being the most notable, that has already failed. And there was little sort of hints. But I thought the Adoree Jackson stuff was a little bit overblown, because he said some nice things about him as well. But it didn't seem like that was a guy that – and he flat out said, I didn't watch much tape of him at all. That's a guy Howie wanted. And the Eagles have wanted Adoree Jackson for years. So Howie's been on that wagon for a long time, and he's wanted that particular player, and he finally got him later in his career. But it's, not necessarily a guy Vic would have picked first. I think that's fair to say. Sidney Brown's probably in that category. He was drafted before Vic was here. I think it's fair to say that. But, no, I mean, he's been around for 40 years. He knows how this works. You're never going to get everything you want. If we're up to him, he'd love to have Milt Williams and Josh Sweat back and Darius Slay. I'm not sure about CJ, but from a football perspective, he'd like to have CJ back. I mean, you always want good players. So, but he knows better than anybody because he's been around so long. He knows it's not possible. So, you know, your job as a coach, and what they all say, all the good ones at least, is your job is to get what you do have
right.
a little bit farther than they would go on their own.
Right.
And, you know, that's a shifting, those are shifting sands every year, how much talent you have.
Yeah, no,
which
I get
why
it.
The same coach doesn't win every year.
Yeah, right. No, I get that. I just don't want them to, you know, it's almost like you take him for granted, not take him for granted, but you know, he's going to turn garbage to gold more than most, John. You know what I mean? So you come in and you load the offense up and you make no changes on that side of the ball.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing about Vic.
Damn, we're losing John. Oh, I lost you there, John. If you can just repeat that.
Well, yeah, I'm going over.
Yeah, you're going over the bridge. You're going over the bridge. I'm not going to get you until you're over.
Hopefully I'm getting over. So hopefully you got me back.
Yeah, I got you back now.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as Vic, yeah, I mean, I think he understands it. And, you know, his goal is just to get the players he does have just to a higher point than they would go. And he's going to be better at it than most of the other defensive coordinators. So that's the positive part from the Eagles' perspective. He's going to make the most out of what he has. Question is, how good is what he has? You know, and there's some questions at corner and safety and especially edge rusher. That, to me, remains the biggest question.
Yeah, John, I mentioned Quinyon and Moro Ojomo. Fair to say those are the two are two clear winners so far in camp. I know there's probably some other guys you might throw into that, but – is it still pretty clear those two are having great camps early right now?
Yeah, I think, and when you factor in what he has to deal with every day, I think Quinyon Mitchell has been probably number one. Moro's been great, but again, we put the caveat on it. He gets to go against Tyler Steen, who's, you know, and Jeff Stoutland mentioned he had a good day. So he's improving, but, you know, he's had some tough goes of it. And as we mentioned, the Eagles don't flip their defensive tackles that much. So, you know, poor Ty Robinson and guys like that have been going against Landon and Jordan. And, you know, Morrow's feasting. But I do think, and BLG said it yesterday on the show as well, I do think he's a good player, but he's looked like, you know, he's looked like a superstar, and I don't think he's a superstar. So I think part of it is who he's going against every day. But I
which
do
could
think,
bring up another separate concern.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've said that a number of times. You have to the context of like when you're a cornerback and you're going against A.J. Brown every day and Devontae
Smith. Yeah, right.
Smith,
it's not going to be as good, yeah.
Yeah, and Quinyon has been good against that versus Moro, who's been really, really good. But, you know, the competition he's going against is not all-pro level like Jalik Hunt is going against, for instance, if you want to look keep it to the defensive front. So I do think people fail to add that context in, and I try to do it, but sometimes it goes.
Well, John, we got to repeat ourselves a lot. That's just the nature of the business. All right, John, final thoughts here before I let you run. Michael Clay coming up 9:40, day number 6 on the practice field. What's first couple things that you're watching today? Take me inside the mind of Johnny Mack and your final thoughts here as I let you run and you can get down there to the NovaCare Complex.
Well, I think number one offensively is a clean practice because they were just a mess when we last saw them. But the officials, the NFL officials are here this week. And I think Jeff McClain had 8 offensive penalties. I had 5, but I was doing some different things. I was looking at some one-on-ones with the running backs and the linebackers. So I didn't see every team play. He had 8 penalties, 8 penalties on the offense in one practice, which I'm sure they got reamed out by the coaching staff because it was sloppy from their standpoint. So number one, they got to get back from that. And it seems like every year you have one of those practices where there's just flags all over the place and pre-snap penalties, and it's part of getting the timing back and things like that. I'm sure they'll clean it up, but they got to clean it up quickly because that was, you know, of all the, and I say those practices happen every year, but not to that degree. It's very rare when you see that many penalties and that many pre-snap penalties. So that was not a positive sign. And that's got to get back. That's number one. Defensively, I don't think this is a reboot. I always talk about reboot days. The Eagles had a walkthrough. So I think a lot of people think, well, they didn't practice yesterday, so maybe there's some changes today. Well, in their mind, they did. The off day is Saturday this week, so that would be the reboot day. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of rebooting anyway from the standpoint of until the first preseason game is over, because it's so early. I don't think you're going to make any drastic changes until after that, and then you might see some changes when it comes to the depth chart and see if guys are starting to distance themselves a little bit.
Yeah. Johnny Mac, great stuff today, brother. We'll be listening to your questions today at the press conferences. We'll see what players speak. I'm kind of hoping Adoree gets to the podium just because I want to hear what he has to say.
Well, Adoree just spoke the other day, so that's the timing, unfortunately. In the old days, we could just pull them and say, hey, Vic said this, but do that now. So.
Can't do that anymore. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
All right, J-Mac, great stuff, man. We will talk to you tonight on a Birds 365 Nightcap Edition. Great work so far today, brother. Enjoy the practice. Take it all in, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you this evening.
All right, thanks all.
All right, thanks, Johnny Mac. There's Johnny Mac, John McMullen, joining us right here on a Football 24/7 Morning Edition. Good stuff listening to John as we roll right along in training camp. Always nice to hear John kind of bring a sense of realism, a sense of objectivity to the conversation. So good stuff there. Boy, that conversation with the returners, man, is goofy. I mean, we're going to keep 3 fucking receivers after AJ, Devontae, and Jahan, all to address secondary things, really? I mean, I guess returning is obviously a big part of the game, but I mean, Johnny Wilson, we're keeping him because he can play in the run game. Certainly not keeping him because he can catch the ball or do anything like that. I mean, Anais and Avery Williams to return kicks and punts. I mean, that's a complicated situation. And then you have a guy like Terrace Marshall, who's really having a great camp so far. I know he got an injury last time out on the field, but I mean, I was excited. I'm like, oh, good. We finally got a guy that if AJ and Devontae can't play every single game, we're not going to fall off the face of the earth, you know? And now it sounds like I don't know if he's even going to be here. You would think they would keep him, but I don't know. I mean, I understand where John's coming from. It definitely could be a bleak output for that. So, you know, if they cut Crowley, that'll just be dumb to me. I mean, Crowley, can you answer this for me? And I'm not picking on you. I'm just, using you as a catalyst for the conversation. What the fuck's the point? You bring in a player who has an upside that you're hoping he can get to the upside. It's a camp body. It's a dart at the dartboard. The dart hits. The dart lands maybe not on the bullseye, but in the second or third outer ring. You have a guy that could be a somebody that has some value on your roster, and you just blow them out. It's like, what the fuck's the point? Why not just sign 25 undrafted guys then and cut them all? You know, like I don't, I don't know. You go through this process to try and find talent and find players who can add to the back of the roster and give you more depth from top to bottom. You know, the roster's not just about the top 22. It's about all the way through the 53. And you find a guy that's playing good in camp. Guy can catch. He can run. He can play on the outside. He's a big body wide receiver, something we haven't had as a backup in the past. I don't get that. And now you're telling me we're going to keep Johnny Wilson, Anaya Smith, and Avery Williams? By the way, both of our – I mean, I love Devontae and AJ. Don't get me wrong, but they did both miss time last year, right? Both players missed time last year. Not crazy. I think 3 games for Devontae and 4 for AJ. I mean, I don't know. I don't get that. You're going to have 6 wide receivers and keep 3 of them that are gadgets? I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening with it. I mean, obviously, it's too early to make a proclamation. I'm just saying, based on what John explained, that to me doesn't make a lot of sense. But we'll see what they end up doing. We will see. James says we better not keep Anaya Smith. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Shady, I don't really understand it, to be honest. And I like Terrace. I got to say, I like Terrace. Yeah, I saw that. I saw Danny Gray cleared it. Obviously afraid of it. I mean, he's a camp body, and he can't even practice right now. Nobody was picking him up. You know, Johnny Wilson's cooled off a ton. Marshall's been turning head. Yeah, Johnny Wilson is no threat in the past. He's not catching anything. He's not catching significant footballs for this team this year. He's not. He's here because he can block in the run game, which, by the way, is, you know, you could make an argument that's more valuable than what Avery Williams would be if he was just returning kickoffs or just returning punts or vice versa, you know. But I said to John, you got to – one of those guys, they got to do both, okay? You got to do both. You can't do, I'm punts and I can't do kicks, or I'm kicks and I can't. Bullshit. You got to do both or you're out of here. That's what I want. All right, get a guy that can do kicks and punts. Keep him as your 6 wide receiver. Done and dusted. Keep Johnny Wilson if you really need him in the running game. And then get a wide receiver that can give you a little bit of insurance if A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith go down. I mean, remember, we're a running offense now. We've all embraced that as a fan base, as a team, and as an offense. Okay, we talk about how great it is. We talk about how nobody can stop our run game. I agree with you all. With that comes a more physical style of play for the wide receivers, which would, in theory, increase the likelihood that they could be in a physical battle that could result in an injury. I mean, A.J. Brown blocked more last year than, I don't know, poor A.J. Brown. This guy's fucking, I think A.J. Brown is legitimately, I think he's 1A in the NFL in terms of talent. I mean, he's got the size, the speed, the route running, the hands, the catch radius, the physicality. He's got everything. I don't think any receiver does one thing that much better than A.J. Brown. I mean, obviously somebody's going to run routes a little better because they're smaller or shifty or whatever. But I think A.J. Brown's a top receiver in football. And this guy's been – he was with Derrick Henry. He comes to Philly. He's with Saquon Barkley. It's like, holy moly, this guy probably just wants to catch some footballs. Oh, it's funny. But we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening, man. We'll see what ends up happening. So I just don't get, you know, Brandon says 0 reason Marshall shouldn't make it. I just don't get, like, the point of it, you know. You bring him in because presumably you wanted to get more depth behind those guys. And then he plays good. He does what you want him to do in camp. And now it's like, all right, Avery Williams and Anaya Smith. Oh, like, fuck that. That's stupid. Yeah, the ability to block with minimal bitching. It's true, Gary. AJ is the man. I agree, Shady. Quickly becoming one of my favorite Eagles of all time. Like, really quickly. Really quickly. I mean, I'm a big fan of the mindset, the mentality, the player, the approach, the everything he does. I think he's just awesome. I mean, it's a blessing to have him in Philly, no doubt. No doubt. Prince checking in. What's up, Prince? Sorry, bro. I missed the super chat a little earlier today. He says, Quinyon slept on Mitchell, straight dog. Yeah, he's a beast, dude. He's a beast. I mean, everything you hear out of there, man. Wait, Brian. So Brian Pumper, and I appreciate this take, actually, Brian. I don't think it's a crazy take by you, but I am going to push back on one thing for you. All right. So Brian says, what'd he do? He made catches in training camp. What the F are we doing? Well, Brian, can I ask you something? What did Johnny Wilson do that you've become the biggest Johnny Wilson truther in the world? Terrace Marshall has a history as well of being a solid receiver that can handle reps and playing the position on the outside. He's a big body frame who has good hands, decent route running, not slow. I mean, he has tangible skill set. What has Johnny Wilson done that has, and again, I'm not mad at you for saying this because, hey, maybe you're right, Pump. Fucking it's training camp catches. How do you know what Terrace Marshall's going to be? That's fine. But what has Johnny done? Brian says, Johnny Wilson won a Super Bowl, so sir, have some damn respect. Well, listen, he did drop a pass in that Super Bowl, too, didn't he? Didn't he, Pump? Go up, Pump! Not a bad take by Pump. I said it, Josh, but I don't think it's an awful take. I don't think it's an awful take. Like, I get it, you know, Terrace hasn't done that much. But, again, you bring camp bodies in, Nick. We call them darts, hoping that a dart hits. A dart lands on the board, and it's like, ah, fuck you. I don't know. And Hurts threw a pick. Come on, Xander. All right, Pump. Hurts did nothing else, right? Hurts did nothing else in the game, Pump. Come on, Nimrod. And that, wait a second. So Johnny has a drop, and he did as much outside of the drop as Hurts did outside of his pick, right? Come on, Pump. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me, Pump. Look at this, Nimrod. Luffy says, didn't AJ Brown drop a pass in the NFC Championship game? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Luffy, thanks for being here. Please proceed to make your case in the chat that AJ Brown isn't that good, that AJ Brown is overrated, that AJ Brown shouldn't be talked about as highly as he is. Please, I'd love to see you make the case for it. All right? I'd love to see you make the case for it, Luffy. Luffy's a little stuffy. Fucking Luffy. Here's Prince. Prince, what up, my guy? What up, Prince? He checking in. Xander, fans forget how Eli Ricks' performance shown during training camp in the last preseason game, and the Eagles went above and beyond to keep him on the team. It's actually a good point. That was a couple years ago, Prince. That wasn't last year. That was 2 years ago. 2 years ago that Eli had the bigger interception, I believe, in preseason. So, yeah, good point by you, Prince. Maybe, I don't know. Like, isn't that – that's part of the point. Luffy says, that's not my point. My point is everyone drops balls, smooth brain. Again, that is such a bad fucking comp. To take A.J. Brown's drop, a guy who produces – play in and play out for the team and extrapolate that and compare that to Johnny Wilson, who doesn't do a damn thing. I'm sorry, but I don't really think that makes me a smooth brain. I think that makes that a shitty comparison. Of course, everybody has drops. When it's the only thing you do, it's viewed a little differently. Not a volume guy. What's he do? AJ Brown. I know what AJ Brown does. I can live with a drop from A.J. Brown. Come on, man. A dumb comment. Thanks, as I went a little silly-o on him. That's all right. That's all right, Luffy. Hang in there, Luffy. Baylock checks in. What up, Baylock? Blaylock, sorry. Xander, you think they'll make Steen earn position or just give it to him? Seems like no competition been there for him. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he is earning it to some extent. I don't know. Blaylock, here's my problem with questioning right guard. And this doesn't mean that Stoutland is perfect, but am I going to think that my opinion is right over Stoutland? All right. Am I going to think that? I don't know. No, I'm not. I'll tell you the answer. I'm not. Luffy follows back up. Luffy, sorry. All right. If I was too hard on you, Luffy, you know, the other morning I was live in the morning, I was chopping people into shreds. So maybe I'm a little testy, Luffy. I'll give you another chance. He says, blocking in the run game, doing nothing. Oh, yeah, because that's doing as much as A.J. Brown. Here he goes again. These takes are Neanderthal level. Yeah, all right. You build the fucking football team with Johnny Wilson. I'll build mine with A.J. Brown. Thank you, Luffy. Thank you, Luffy. Shady says, what about Sidney Brown returning punts? I don't know, man. What makes you think that would be a good one? I've just seen no evidence that that would ever be even a thing. Where do you get that? Is that because he had the big return and the interception? Like, is that where you're pulling that from? I don't know. I'm not trying to dismiss the idea. I've never even thought about that for him. I've never even thought about that. So Luffy follows up. He says, everyone has roles. Are they worth roster spots? Yes, no shit. All right, so Luffy, that's fine. I agree with that. Let me just run this by you then. Is what Johnny Wilson does worth a roster spot? And I actually think Johnny's worth the spot because of the run game. So I already said that. So you might be just new in the show. I said that on this show. I've only been live for 50 minutes. I said Johnny Wilson would be here. My problem was keeping Johnny, Anais, and Avery Williams for all those different roles, returning and blocking, without ever getting or addressing a good backup outside receiver. And if you go to last season, in the games that we didn't have A.J. Brown early in the year, we lost two of those games. The offense couldn't really do shit. And I view that as probably a bigger role than what Johnny did. Now, again, I'm not advocating to cut Johnny Wilson. I think Johnny Wilson makes the team. But to keep him, or to keep those three, over addressing somebody that could be competent if AJ or Devontae goes down, in my opinion, is not the right move. I think Terrace Marshall should be kept here for that reason. I think he should be kept here for that reason. I'm not dismissing what you're saying, that Johnny does have some level of value for a team that's prided themselves and has taken on the identity of a running football team. I don't dismiss that. All right. I think we found some common ground here. I think we found some common ground, Luffy. I appreciate it. Jay Rizzle. What's up, Jay Rizzle? He says, Big Z, Elliott scares me, brother. He needs competition. I hear you. I mean, look, he didn't have his best year last year, but I don't know. I can't say I'm scared like you are, Jay Rizzle. I can't use those words. I'm sorry, I just can't. I feel okay about it. Ethan says, wasn't Adoree Jackson a returner at USC? I'd have to look that up. Blaylock says, heard anything about that tall old lineman from Rutgers? He's built like Makai. Yeah, that's Holland Pierce. I haven't heard much, Blaylock. Here's the problem with him, because I actually think he could have a future in the NFL, kind of what you said, especially with a guy like Stoutland, right? I mean, if there's an O-line coach in the league that'll, you know, prep him for playing, it would be here. But dude, he's got such an uphill battle. I mean, you heard John on the show earlier this week said they have 14 NFL capable offensive linemen in this roster. 14. Now, he doesn't mean 14 starters. He means 14 guys that are actually competent enough to be on an NFL roster. Some of his reserves, obviously, as backups. But, dude, that's a lot. Now you're bringing in an undrafted free agent in that room. Like, remember, they spent two draft picks this year, Cam Williams and Miles Hinton. They got Drew Kendall, also a draft pick this year. They got Trevor Keegan from last year. You got Matt Pryor and Kendall Lamb. You got, who's the backup, is that the backup center I'm blanking on? Yeah, Gates, I think. I mean, they got a lot of alignment. So I think it's an uphill battle for him. I really do. Anthony says, Xander, Wilson sucks. What's wrong with these people? I'm not sure, Anthony. They like Johnny Wilson for some reason. I'm not really sure. I wasn't really trying to pick on Luffy. I think maybe I came off a little harder than I meant to be. I wasn't really trying to pick on him. I was just trying to say that I don't really compare him to compare him to the other guys. Brian says Terrace Marshall is not competent. Well, maybe you're right about that. Joseph Smith, happy birthday, big dog. Hope you have a great day, brother. Appreciate you being here on your birthday, spending some time with us. Ethan says, yeah, I could have swore Dory Jackson was a returner before. I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll do it right now for you. Did Dory Jackson, you said return punts? Yeah, that's correct. Wow. And in the first headline I see, Dory Jackson dazzles with a 55-yard punt return for USC. So good pull, Ethan. Well done, brother. Good pull. Good pull there. Now, I don't know if he's done that. Now, here's a headline from January of last year. And I don't know if that's from January, actually. I don't know why these are all getting mixed up on the dates. But it looks like he suffered an injury on a 26-yard punt return when he was in Tennessee. Now, obviously, you don't want him to get an injury, but I bring that up because he has at least returned a punt in the NFL. All right. So, hey, good pull, Ethan. Maybe that's an option. Maybe that becomes an option. Kevin, it's not my birthday. It's Joseph Smith's birthday, Kevin. Not me, bro. Not me. Not me. James M. says, Z, is there any truth to AJ snapping on a rookie offensive tackle who was complaining about camp workload? Supposedly told him to get with it or get out the way. Well, I didn't see that. James M., why do I feel like I would have seen that if that happened? I feel like I would have seen that, no? By the way, can we talk about AJ Brown real quick for a second with that? I freaking love that new chant he wants at the link this year. I freaking love it. I love it. It's like Freddie Mercury, man. It's like Freddie Mercury. Come on, man. That is excellent. I think I'm picturing the link doing that. I'm picturing a big play to AJ Brown, and the whole freaking link goes, "Ayo!" I mean, that is going to be electric. That is going to be a fucking electric. I love that. That's a great chant for him, man. That's a great chant. We not doing that. Pump, you're in Asia. You ain't doing shit because you're in Asia or Israel or Egypt or I don't know wherever the hell you are, dude. I don't know where you are. There's Anthony checks in again. Anthony, what up, brother? Good to see you in here, Anthony. I haven't seen you in a little bit. All right? I haven't seen you in a little bit. He says, Xander, I literally saw Jalen three times last year say, come on, Johnny, what are you doing? Yeah, I'm not sure. I read that. Dirty Air, where'd you read that, dude? I want to read that. Where'd you read that? Let me know, because I'd like to read that story. I didn't see it. Like, I don't see it, you know, type in AJ Brown. Normally when something like that happens, it's like dominates the news. Slagger says a better chant would be the same inflection with AJ. All right, let's try it. AJ! I don't know. I think O's always going to sound better, Slagger, because of Freddie. But why did he choose O? It's because of always open, right? It's always open. That's like his nickname, I guess he calls himself. I think AO is better. I do. It doesn't hit the same. It's always open, right? Right. Prince says, AJ Brown is low-key a diva for that. He was hating on the coop in Guantanamo Bay. Was he? I didn't see that. Oh, you said, yeah, Prince, now you're saying, now this fucking dude wants a nickname and a chant at the link? Coop! I love it. I love it. Zay, are you sure Pumper's not in a basement in South Philly? I am sure of absolutely nothing, Big Mike. The only thing I can say to you is that he did win a jersey last year, and I don't know if it was a fake address, but I did ship a Saquon Barkley jersey to an address that was supposed to be addressed to Brian Pumper. Now, I don't know if it got there. I don't know if he ever got it. I never heard that he got it. It was a nice jersey. I hope he gets it. I don't even know if he's an Eagles fan. I'm not really sure, Big Mike. But I do know I was given an address last year where I sent the jersey to. I wrote him a Z-note. I wrote Pumper a Z-note. Has he gotten it? I don't think. Will he ever get it? I don't think. He said, I got it. Bum, it's in the closet. I won't tell you anything about Pumper because I respect him and I don't like to give away anything people don't want to know, but he's not a Philly guy, I'll tell you that. All right. It's not like I hand delivered it to an address up the road. All right, no Philly guy around here shipping that thing to the other side of the planet. All right. Send him a Hurts jersey. Dirty Air, I thought about it. I didn't have any at the time. Izzy B says she's still mad she never got a Z note. Izzy B, you're a member. I see you got the membership that badge there. Thanks for being a member. Maybe you'll win one this year. I got to re-up on my Z notes. I'm out of the cards I used. Philly to Chicago, checking in. What's up, brother? Good to see you in here. Slagger says, for all the OGs in here, the original Coop-style chant was the Baltimore crowd when Boog Powell hit a boog or boog. All right, Slag. Good context there. Prince says, Xander is the only person who truly knows who I am, somewhat. Prince! You know, I love you, Prince. I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you, Prince. Brian Pumper says, I was burned in Jersey, asshole. Yo, Pump! Come on, Pump! That's funny, man. That is funny. Fleming says, I got a Z note. It made my balls tingle. Pause, no ditty. Xander cussed me out of my Z note. Nah, because Prince, wait a second. Prince wins this giveaway last year, and he tries to be this fucking macho dude, macho anonymous dude in my chat, and he goes, I don't want a Z note. Don't write me in here a written note. My name's Prince, and I'm too macho to read a note from another man. And I proceeded to write, yo, Prince. Fuck you, Prince. I'm writing you a Zeno. All right? Prince, you loved the Zeno. I know you did, brother. I know you did. Well, I don't know why you sent your address in the chat. You could have just sent it to me in my email. All right, Monkey. That's a weird comment. I'm not reading that. All right, I'm getting out of here soon. Good show this morning. Fun show, 1 hour show. Good conversation with Johnny Mac. Actually, let me just do some production on the fly, guys. Give me 1 second. I got to pull that interview to post it up. Last day of July for the YouTube people out there. You know, you grind a little extra on these final days because that monthly check. All right, you got to boost up that monthly check as much as you can, especially coming out of July. Let me pull this interview. Just give me 1 second, a little production on the fly. I think so far it's been a pretty good training camp. I think it's been like a pretty optimistic training camp. Nothing crazy, but nothing on the negative side either. I mean, I rattled off the injuries that I said there's a couple of injuries that maybe bring minor concern, but even there, I mean, nothing crazy, you know, nothing crazy at all. So overall in a pretty good spot for this team, at least I think. J-Mac interview. There we go. I'll pull that, post that up on the channel at some point. Thanks for bearing with me on that. Ryan, what's up, brother? Darius, appreciate you being here. Bud. Oh, yeah, but MLB trade. Oh, what'd you guys think? What'd you guys think of the Phillies trade? Johan Duran picked up for the Phillies. You know, I got thoughts on this. I have thoughts on this. I saw some people bitching that the Phillies gave up two young prospects. And I'm like, so what's the alternative? You know, you keep these young dudes. the top 100 upcoming prospects. I get it, but like, keep them and never address getting a closer, and then maybe risk potentially getting bounced in the playoffs this year because you don't have the right pitchers. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm an all-in guy. Like, you got a team right now that could potentially go and win. You're worried about Eduardo Tate? I mean, fuck, I get it. He's a decent prospect, but you can't get good players without giving up something. You know, go for it. Go for it. Get the pitcher. I liked it. No, they didn't deal Painter. They made a move, Dirty Air. I'm not sure if you saw it. So they traded Abel and Eduardo Tate, right? Yeah, Eduardo Tate. So they got the young catcher. He's like 18 years old, I think. I don't know how old he is. And Mick Abel, you know, who's a solid player. But get a fucking pitcher, you know? Get the pitcher. I saw Johnny Marks, and I love John Marks, but I saw him tweet out they gave up way too much. I'm like, John, what's the alternative? Wait a second. For all my Phillies fans out there, and I know some of you don't want to talk about the Phillies. I'll get back to the Eagles in a second. For all my Phillies fans out there, how many fucking prospects have we talked about that have come up and become a big player for the team? I mean, look at the roster right now. The only guy who came up really was I think, Bryson Stott and maybe Alec Bohm. You signed Trey Turner. You signed Bryce Harper. You signed Kyle Schwarber. All these dudes. We can't hinge our entire franchise, our entire chance at winning a ring and winning a World Series on prospects. Hoskins, there you go, Dirty Air. I don't know why they got rid of him, but they did. It's like, Stott and Bohm, that's it. That's it, Stott and Bohm. You know, and you want to just like not get a pitcher because we have a couple guys that people say might be good at some point in the future. I get it. You don't want to sell the house. You got to build the team the right way. And you don't want to give up on players too early for a short-term rental. But at some point, you got to push your chips in. At some point. Well, they dirty. Yeah, I agree. Painter was one dude I didn't want to get rid of, and they didn't give him up. You know, so I thought I viewed it as a win because of that. So, DC, you're right about this. Phillies don't have one 300 hitter in the lineup. If they go cold, as happened in the past, we're effed. Well, welcome to the Phillies, dude. That's the brand of baseball they play. That's the brand of baseball they're taught to play. They're not a small ball team. They don't want to be a small ball team. I think they should be more of a small ball team. I think they have great hitters to be a small ball team. But Slager's also right. The league has about 2,300 hitters total. I mean, yeah, you're not gonna flood a roster with 300 hitters. I still would like to see a little bit more small ball. You know, constantly swinging for defenses. It's like, all right. To your point, though, DC. To your point, boy, you get cold. You're boom. Like the last two games of that Diamondback series a couple years ago. You come home up 3-2, coming back to Philly with two straight games. You got to win one of them to close out the series, and you fucking choke it away to the Diamondbacks. Go cold. They went cold, you know? It's a scary hill to die on, but it's a part of the beast, dude. It's a part of the beast. Philly Don says, great pickup by the Phils, but they're not going anywhere if the bats don't get going consistently. Loaded roster, nobody hitting consistently. It's Philly Don, I don't know if it'll change. I don't know if it'll change, dude. Like, I don't think they're playing the style of baseball that lends to consistent hitting. They're just a streaky team. I feel like they're always going to be. I don't feel like that's going to change. Let's just hope they get hot at the right time in the postseason, man. And if they don't, if they get streaky, boy, you better hope all these starting pitchers we got have just jam after jam after jam after jam, because that's what you're going to need. All right, I think it was a good trade yesterday. I do. I thought it was a good trade. Yep, DC, we're saying the same thing, right? Yep, we're speaking, echoing each other a little bit, which is good. Who's the owner of the Phillies? Middleton. So we'll see. All right, everybody. Great show this morning. Appreciate everybody for being here. What's up, Balenci Bry? I keep calling you Bray. It's just, you know, spelt that way. Good to see you, bro. Appreciate you being here. Shady, thanks for being here this morning, brother. I saw you bitching this morning, Shady. It's like top of the morning and Shady's in here. Do you start every show late on purpose? Shady, I think we got enough content flowing on the channel. Okay? Take a deep breath, big guy. A couple minutes won't put you in the grave. All right? Couple minutes won't put you in the grave. Update on NOLA. I'd have to look. I'm not sure what it is, dude. Slagger checking in. What's up, Slag? Aside from the obvious need for a closer, people are not focusing on the fact that this is not a summer rental for those two guys. The guy is signed through next year. It's true, Slagger. It addresses a need on a little bit of a longer term than just this year. You know, how old is Johan Duran? He is 27. He could be here for a bit, dude. He could be here for a bit. I don't know if they'll sign him after next year, but, you know, a pair of top 100 prospects, I'm like, good. So the word prospect is like potential. The word prospect is like potential, you know, means you haven't done it. So we'll see it. We'll see it. All right, everybody. Love all you guys. Appreciate all you guys. Thanks for being here. Don't forget to hit the like button this morning. All right, we'll follow along on camp. Michael Clay, the special teams coordinator, is coming up in about 23 minutes from now. So we'll see how that goes. They're back on the field today, and then they also have practice tomorrow. So we'll have a nighttime show tonight, Birds 365 from 6 to 8 p.m. Looking forward to doing that with Johnny Mack. Appreciate y'all being here. Hit the like button, and I'll see you next time, everybody, here on Jacob Sports. Thanks, everybody.
EAGLES, Eagles.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.